Right now, he's in the midst of a tour of all the school districts in the state. Where are you at today, Levi?
Good morning, Tim. Good morning from beautiful Golden Valley County. I'm sitting in the high school parking lot here in Beach.
Oh, okay.
So thanks for having me on today.
So what, I mean, how many school districts are there? I think, what, 175? And what number are you on today?
Yeah, we've got 165 operating school districts this school year. That's going to go down one or two next year. I'm over two dozen, I think shy of 30, but I'm having just a wonderful time getting out, putting some miles on the truck and hearing from teachers and students and community leaders about how we can lead the nation with America's best schools.
So let's talk about to use the title of a great movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. What are you hearing from people across the state as far as things that are, you know, being done really well, things that they're really excited about in their school district, for starters?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are just really proud of their school district and all the great schools that I've been visiting. It's a community effort. It's great teachers. It's students who work hard. It's a community that supports the school. Everywhere I'm going, I'm trying to see teaching in action, and I'm also trying to have a conversation with community leaders. And I appreciate, you know, that it isn't just, you know, teachers and school board members, and of course they have an incredibly valid perspective, but superintendents have been, you know, bringing in local business owners or local pastors, mayors, you know, folks who work in their economic development, you know, work in town. And I think that's a great sign that in North Dakota, we believe that, you know, education is a team sport, and where we have the strongest schools, we have, you know, the strongest communities. So that's been really great to see. We take a no-nonsense approach here, you know, for the most part. And I think that's reflected in the fact that we're one of the higher performing states in the country when you look at tests that compare, you know, North Dakota to other states in the nation. And I'm a firm believer that we can be number one.
Yeah, I totally believe that. We have some of the best teachers in the country, if not the world, too. So as far as some of the differences you encounter, because clearly if you're in a really small school district like mine used to be Forbes, where we had 34 kids in all of high school versus Fargo, vastly different challenges. So let's start with small versus large. What some of the things that they can do that are challenges? What some of the things that they can do that are, you know, really something to hold proud and share with other districts?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I have appreciated is that every school district is different. And so there's no feeling of Groundhog's Day going from, you know, one mm-hmm. to another to another. You're not hearing the same thing. People are dealing with different challenges. We were talking about, you know, the impact of housing on, you know, maintaining and growing enrollment in Lakota last week. You know, in Valley City, talking about the strength of their collaboration with their, you know, with their local, you know, the university, Valley City State University. At the same time, though, whether you're really big, I think the largest school district I've visited so far is Williston, you know, or really small, there's also some common challenges, which gives me hope that we can work together to support all of our students across North Dakota. The state has been spending a smaller percentage of its budget on K-12. I think that's the wrong approach. I hope to, you know, have conversations with legislators from big cities and small districts that, you know, this is important. This is vital to the future of our state. And I can't think of anything, you know, more worthy of investment than, you know, in K-12 education, teacher retention, recruitment. We've got great kids, and, you know, the number one single factor that will impact, you know, the learning that students, you know, are able to achieve comes from the quality of the educator in the classroom. So, you know, and that's something that I've heard everywhere that I've gone, whether it's been big, small, everywhere in between. We just do not have as many people going into education anymore. We need to do a better job of recruiting and retaining the teachers that we have. Pay is certainly an important part of that. It's not the only part of it. And so I've really enjoyed, you know, the opportunity in doing this. It's there's similarities everywhere you go, but there's also some really, you know, profound differences in terms of the challenges that, you know, relate to schools, but also relate to the community, and how that ultimately impacts, you know, the experience that students are having in the classroom.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, wanting you to respond to this next comment, but, you know, I do have a worry if the food provision for free food in schools passes at $140 million or 160 or whatever it is, with a shrinking budget that's projected for next session, you know, what will that do to teacher salaries? Because there's only so much money to go around, and they're not going to raise taxes. People don't want them to raise taxes, that's for sure.
No, and we don't need to raise. We don't need to raise. Yeah, we don't need to raise taxes. I mean, just in 2019, the state's budget, 33% of it went to school districts through the funding formula, which you had a huge hand in, you know, getting established in policy. So thank you for that. 33%, you know, just 7 years ago, it's now hovering around 25%. So when I hear people say, oh, if the meals pass, that means we're going to have to cut educational funding. I think that that's a false trade-off. I think I want to have a conversation with legislators about, you know, what's happened that's caused us to deprioritize investing in schools. You know, we've gone backwards in average teacher salary. We don't have, you know, some of the administrative bloat issues that I think you see in higher ed and other, you know, other parts of the country. So I really want to understand what's, you know, got us to this point. Everywhere I go, you know, I hear from the across the political spectrum of really conservative, you know, school board members to more progressive school board members, people just are wondering, you know, with inflation has been where it's been and average teacher salary rankings going backwards, you know, how can we have this conversation in Bismarck, sort of reprioritize using the resources that we do have to fund our priorities? And I can't think of anything, you know, more important in the state budget, maybe public safety. But that hasn't been growing. So something else is happening where our priorities have been shifting. And I think part of my message is, you know, to lawmakers to say K-12 is a worthwhile investment. And it doesn't mean you have to raise taxes, but we, thanks to the oil industry, thanks to smart tax policy, I mean, we have the resources necessary to meaningfully invest in our schools.